Okay, good evening. I thank all of you for coming. The shul email this week said that Rabbi Schwartz is giving a shiur on the series of Yichud, and we're discussing whether turkey is kosher. I have no idea what Yichud has to do with whether turkey is kosher. That's a very important question. I don't know. Whatever, duck, duck, goose, you're out. I have no idea like what to say about that one. But let's talk about whether turkey is kosher, and we'll kind of move away from Yichud. Thanksgiving is coming up. The first Thanksgiving feast may or may not have involved turkey. Traditionally, people assume that they ate turkey, but the reality is that maybe, maybe not, I don't know. The fact is the turkey is an interesting bird, and it's widely assumed to be kosher. Not only is it assumed to be kosher, the state of Israel is the world's largest consumer of turkey. The average Israeli, I believe, eats some 35 pounds of the stuff a year. That's a lot. That's like two turkeys worth.
You can't get a whole turkey.
What? You can't get a whole turkey. You can get like the leg over here. You go into the store, you have like turkey salon. Everything is turkey in Israel. It's like an amazing thing. In America, turkey is also widely consumed. Not to the same extent as it's consumed in Israel, but the assumption is that turkey is kosher. Now, our conclusion tonight will be to confirm that assumption. Like, we are not going to tell you that turkey is treif. But what we will tell you is, right, that's good, because your Thanksgiving feast would be a serious problem if you have to have, like, one of those turkeys made of tofurkey or whatever. They're awful. Huh? Yeah, tofurkey, what's it called? Yeah, it's a makashen ksuva batari. You don't want to eat it. And the pilgrims certainly did not eat tofurkey at the first Thanksgiving. But the fact is, there is some question as to whether turkey is kosher. Let's just discuss first of all what turkey is. Wikipedia has turkey, and in parentheses it says the bird, because there's another thing called turkey, where actually I flew, last time I went to Israel, I flew through Turkey, and it's kind of a scary place. They have all of these like Arabs walking around in the airport, and it's whatever. We ended up staying like 6 hours in the airport in Istanbul, but we're not talking about Istanbul, we're talking about Turkey the bird. So turkey is a large bird, it's from the genus whatever, it's native to the Americas. Meaning to say, turkey is a New World bird. Now, the interesting thing about turkey is that there are two species of wild turkey which come from Mexico, then there are other species of domestic turkey that come from the Yucatan Peninsula. There's a whole tirade about the turkey. You could read it yourself. It's interesting. The fact is, turkey was probably Cortez in 1519 encountered turkey, and they brought it back to Europe. When they bring it back to Europe, it becomes a delicacy. How does it get the name turkey? No idea. Right? It doesn't come from Turkey. It comes from the Americas, which they thought was the India. How does it become a turkey? So the answer is the British people always have interesting ways of looking at stuff. You know, they drive on the wrong side of the street. So the fact is, the English people got turkey originally from places to the east of England. They got it from Spain, where it ended up. It was native to the New World, but Cortez brings it back. It goes to Spain, right? Once it's in Spain, from Spain it migrates to England. It doesn't take that long. We have turkey in England in 1524. So different places in the world call this bird different things. Right? The British took to calling it turkey because it's coming from the east, and everything to the east of England is obviously turkey. Reg nish ken kashas. It works. Now, why is everything to the east of England turkey? Because at that time, the Ottoman Empire is controlling an awful lot. So they're saying it's Turkey. We inherited the English language of the English, and hence we call it Turkey. In other languages, it's called Tarnagol Hodu. There's actually the last line in the history and naming section says in many countries, the names of turkeys have different derivations. A grace a dank, right? In Hebrew, it's called Tarnagol Hodu, which means that they're assuming that comes from India. Now, India isn't really India. India is New World, which was thought to be India. Right? But that is closer to, that's a better derivation of what it is. Okay, so we know it's a New World bird. That's basically point one. Now, in Yiddish, it's called Indigisha, hen, or something like that. No?
Same thing.
Which is?
Same thing.
Indian, right? So, the most languages have it connected to India rather than connected to Turkey. So is it kosher or is it not kosher? Now what's interesting about birds, you could see this actually from the Shulchan Aruch, the top of page 3, but you could get it from the Pesukim in the Torah also. The Torah tells us not to eat non-kosher animals, right? Devarim Perek Yudal, Tochu Kol To'eva. This is what you can eat. Sech Sabim V'se'izim Ayot Tzvi Yachmor. So in the context of land animals, the Torah tells me what I can eat, implying that what? That there's more stuff that you can't eat than you can eat. Now the Torah tells me what the rules that I have are. Behema mafresas parasa shosa shesa, right? Choose its cut, split hooves. Right? We know what the rules from the Uncle Moshe songs. But the fact is, by animals, the Torah is telling me, with respect to animals, the Torah is saying that you can eat these things, implying most other things you can not eat. Right? Then by fish, pasuk tes, es zetoichlu mekasha b'mayim, with fish, you can eat anything that has snapi v'kaskeses. If it doesn't have snapi v'kaskeses, doesn't have fins and scales, you can't eat it. Right? We spoke about the kashrus of fish way back when. We gave a series in the shul on something that we call the kosher shopping list, right? We spoke about the kashrus of fish. Anything with fins and scales you can eat. The reality is, the Chazal say that any fish that has scales automatically has fins, no? How come it says fins and scales? Well, hagdil torah lahadira, the Gemara says. Right, really? Fine. What about birds? Which birds can you eat? So the Torah does not give us simanim. The Torah doesn't tell me signs of the birds. The Torah says, these are the birds that you cannot eat. The nesher, the peres, and the ozniyah. The ra'ah, the ayah, and the dayah. The orev. Now, by the way, I am translating these things according to Art Scroll. Ready? Ready? Nesher, peres, and ozniyah. Art Scroll says is nesher, peres, and ozniyah. Thank you. By the way, nesher we usually assume is an eagle, right? Yehuda Felix, in his book, says that a nesher is a griffin vulture. This completely changes your imagery. I will take you out of Egypt, v'esa eschem al kanfei nesharim. I carry you on the wings of vultures. Right? That's what a nesher is, probably a vulture. According to Yehuda Felix, was actually the founding Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivat Ar HaChaim in Toronto. Before he went, yeah, oh, you're from Ottawa, right? So before he went back to Israel, he was the founder of Shivan Arachem in Toronto. He wrote the works on animals in Tanakh and in the Mishnah. Very, very important works. And Felix says Nesher is a griffin vulture. Most animals, the scholars try to come up with some identification on them. In Arya Kaplan's Living Torah Chumash, you know, the purple one, it's really good.
Oh, yes.
And Arya Kaplan goes through and he defines what each of these 24 birds are based on the best available evidence that he had. And these are the 24 birds that you cannot eat. Implying every other bird that's not on this list is kosher. So I walk down the street and I see a New York City pigeon. Is it kosher? You probably don't want to eat it. But is a New York City patient kosher? Yeah, why not? Right? Why not? The only birds that are non-kosher are these 24, end of discussion. Now, the Arutz Gro Chumash does not translate what these 24 things are. Rabiner Hirsch does not translate it also. Now, what?
Oh, well, that would be the 1917.
Why would Rabiner Hirsch not translate it?
No,
what?
Birds of prey.
So we'll talk about birds of prey in a few minutes. We'll get there. Rabiner Hirsch does not translate it because we don't know the exact translation of things. Now, names change. In one country, I will call a bird, for example, a pheasant, okay? Pheasant in certain places means one type of bird. In other places, it means a different type of bird. Last year, we had in the show, well, 2 years ago, we had in the show Chaim Lakey. You know him?
Oh, yeah.
He came, he made a presentation. He brought, like, his little birds. And basically, he showed that, oh, yeah, this bird, you know what was called? Pheasant. You know what that massive bird was called? Pheasant. You know what? This is called pheasant. Why'd they do that? Because they had no idea what a pheasant was. They called everything a pheasant. Some were kosher, some were not kosher. Names are useless. So Rabiner Hirsch says, I can't give you names in German for what they are because we don't know. Now, theoretically, I guess you could have taken pictures of the birds and said, Nesher is this, Peres is that, Uznia is that, right? But that requires better graphic design than they had in Frankfurt. Or where was it published originally?
The Civil War, the photographs of the Civil War, so the technology existed.
I'm assuming it was.
Right.
It's probably.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been possible. There are certain works that they have from around that time that try to give us. They try to give us pictures of all of the kosher and non-kosher species. It is possible, but. It's a serious labor. It's not easy. Now, Chazal say that the birds that are non-kosher are listed here. The Mishnah, however, in Chulin, gives us a little more explanation. And based on the Mishnah, maybe we can discuss the issue with turkey in greater detail. Zok the Mishnah. Simanei behema v'chaya nemru min ha-Torah. Right, the Torah speaks about animals, right? Split hooves, chews its cud. Simanei ha'of, lo ne'emru. The Torah doesn't tell us the signs for kosher birds. Aval amru chachamim, kol of hadores is tamei. Any bird that is a predator, that is, you said it, a bird of prey, is tamei, is treif. Now, what does it mean to be a bird of prey? So without being too gruesome, there are different explanations here. Rashi understands that the definition of of hadores is that it stands on its food and it eats the food while it's on the ground. Other Rishonim, Tosis disagrees with Rashi, and Tosis says that of hadores means that it eats its food while it's still alive on occasion.
Worms.
So worms are going to be interesting. Almost every bird eats worms. Right? There's a song, the early bird gets the worm or something like that, no?
But the early worm gets the bird.
Whatever. But the assumption is that when we talk about being a doris, it has to be a larger animal, not worms are excluded from this conversation. Why? I'm not sure. But worms are excluded. So there's a machlokes Rishonim about the details of what it means to be an of hadores, but by definition, and this is the one definition we know about birds, for absolute fact, of hadores is treif. Then the Mishnah continues, kosher lo yesh lo etzba yaseira, v'zefek, v'kurkavan niklaf is tahar. Any bird that has an etzba yaseira, is an extra digit, right? what does the extra digit mean? So it could mean 2 and 2, right? Or it could mean, right? Probably means 2 and 2, or 3 and 2, or something. That would be an etzba yisera that the bird has. If it has a zefek is a crop. And it has a korkovan, niklaf. The korkovan is what we call the pupik in Yiddish. A gizzard, no? I have no idea what a gizzard is. When we used to take the smicha guys, I used to oversee a program in yeshiva called Contemporary Halacha. So every year we would take the smicha guys to do a shchita. And Rav Ben Chaim, the Sfaradi Rosh Yeshiva NYU, who like knows his way around animals, would like shecht some animals and like take out a korkovan and show us korkovan niklaf that you could peel off the korkovan and show this is a sign of a kosher animal. And he always, every year, would say over the same story, which is that Reb Baruch Be'er, who was like a famous Rosh Yeshiva in, there were two yeshivas in Slabotka, right? Reb Baruch Be'er is Rosh Yeshiva in one of them. So Reb Baruch Be'er gave many shiurim about the korkovan. There's a famous discussion in the Gemara about a machatz that's in the korkovan. If you have a needle that's stuck in the korkovan, whether it's kosher or not. And one time a sheikh came to Reb Baruch Be'er and he brings him something. He says, tell me, Rebbe, what's the din about this? Reb Baruch Be'er looks at it and says, like, what is it? So the guy says, it's a pupik. So Reb Baruch Be'er says, what's that? So the sheikh says, oh, it's a korkovan. Oh, Reb Baruch Be'er gets so excited. Oh, the heiliger korkovan. Because he finally understood what a kork... Now, this, by the way, is a classic yeshivish story. Because in the sense, like, we can analyze all of the lumdis trying to figure out what the heck goes on with it, but have no idea what it looks like in real life, no? And this is... That's a basic story of a korkovan. If you have the korkovan niklaf, if it peels off, that by definition is kosher. Now, what's interesting in the Mishnah is the Mishnah first says something about ov hadores, and then the Mishnah says these three signs of kosher animals. If it's dores, it's non-kosher. If it's a predator, it's non-kosher. If it has these three signs, then it is kosher. The etzba, you say, the zefek, and the korkovan niklaf. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, do you need both or not? Meaning to say, do you need to have the three simonim of the extra digit and the crop, etc., and also know that it is not dores? Or are these three signs just ways of knowing that it's not dores? And effectively, one or the other is going to be good. If I know that it's not a predator, right, that would also make it kosher, right? So this seems to be a machlokes harishonim, which is the big topic. Is the big topic. Rashi's understanding is that you need both things. You have to have the three signs that it's kosher, and Rashi adds you have to know that it's not a dores. Rashi gets this from a Gemara in Chulin Daf Samach Beis. Skip a source, two sources. Chulin Samach Beis Amid Beis. Amar Rav Papa. Tanigola da Agma Asira. Tanigola da Agma. Amar Rav Papa. Excuse me. Tanigola da Agma is Asir. Tanigolta da Agma Sharia. Right. Tanigola in the male form is Kreif. Tanigolta is Kosher. Vesimanach Amoni Velo Amonis. Okay. Darash Mereimar. Tanagota da Agma Asira. Mirema said it's Asir. Chaz Yuha did Darsa Va'achla. They saw that it was being dores and eating. And Hainu Gerusa, and it was this thing called Gerusa, which is the Aramaic term for it. Now, let's just take this Gemara apart again. Originally, they said that Tarnagolta is kosher. Then Miremar says the Tarnagolta is Asur because they see Chaz Yuha didarsa v'achla. They see that it was Doris, that it was preying on other animals. Says Rashi, Ra'uha Chachomim shedoreses v'ochelas. The Chachomim saw that it is preying on other animals and eating. And this is a Geruta that we say on Daf Kuftes, etc. Azalan Gerusa, Sharalan Mishnah de Kavra. Shetamo ketamo. Right? Basically, the Gemara on Kuf Tes and Chulin has an interesting line that whatever God made as treif, there's a corresponding kosher thing in the world that has the same flavor. God does not want to deprive us. So the Gemara goes through all of the treif things and says, what are the kosher things? In other words, shrimp is treif. It's not shrimp, it's kosher. Now, apparently the people who actually eat shrimp tell me that it's not shrimp. Like, it's really not shrimp. But,
you mean that fake shrimp?
Yeah.
That it's not
shrimp.
It's called, it's not shrimp, I think.
It's the expression from rattlesnake, tastes just like chicken. Yeah, everything.
Right, everything. Rattlesnake tastes like chicken. Again, I guess it depends how you flavor it or something. But the fact is, the Gemara in Daf Kuf Tes says that Gerusa is treif, and there is this the lishna de kavra, the tongue of a certain type of fish, tastes exactly like gerusa, and that's the way we get the flavor of this otherwise treif thing, shatamo katamo. And then mitoch she'ein anu bekiyin bahem, zakt Rashi. Now he like has a little essay. Since we're not expert on these things, nearly the of habolafanenu yesh lomar shema yigros. Says Rashi, if a new bird comes in front of us, we have to be concerned. Maybe this bird will be a predator. Zot Rashi. What does the Gemara say? This tarnagolta da agma, this gerusa thing, they used to think it was kosher, and over time they noticed that it's a dores. So therefore, Rashi says, you know what? When a new bird comes in front of you, don't eat it. Ve'ein of ne'echal lanu ela b'masores. You can only eat birds if you have a mesora, a tradition. Of shemasu lanu avosinu b'tahar, v'shalom masu lanu yesh lachosh. U'b'masores, we could be so meich that we say, of tahar ne'echal b'masores. So Zakt Rashi, an amazing thing. Rashi says, you know what, based on this Gemara, that the time to go to the Agma was found out to be a Doris, so therefore you cannot eat any new bird. You can only eat a bird if you have a tradition. That's what Rashi says. Ein of necha alav masoris. Now Rashi is calling Gemara Daf Samach Gimel. The Gemara Daf Samach Gimel says, ein of necha masoris in the kula way. This is that even if a bird does not have the signs, but if you have a tradition that's a kosher bird, you can eat it. Rashi is flipping it. Rashi is saying it in the Chumra way, that even if a bird has all the signs, the bird has a korkiva niklaf, the halige korkiva, it comes off. Rashi says, don't eat it. Ein of nechal ela b'masores. You can only eat a bird if it has a tradition. Now, this of course begs the question, so all of these birds that come from the New World should be categorically treif, because we can't have a tradition. Unless you assume, some scholars try to contend that the Indians are really Jews, or the Native Americans. I think Indians is a bad term. We can't speak about Indians anymore. The Native Americans, some people say that they were, I don't think there's any evidence whatsoever for that, but whatever. Yeah, David?
Isn't Rashi arguing
with Rav, again, Rav Papa said that the Tarnagola is treif, and the Tarnagolta is kosher, but then the Gemara says that they assert it. So the Gemara backs away from Rav Papa. The Gemara says, Darash Mereimar.
The Gemara isn't saying that Rav Papa presumably saw that this animal, that this bird, that was not, that never seemed to be gold. So he said, that's kosher. And then
they found out that it,
So Rashi
is not learning the Gemara exactly like that. Rashi is learning the Gemara that Rav Papa was relying on the Simanim, and then they found that it's Doris. He said, sorry, treif. The Simanim don't help anymore. And Rashi says, based on this, Ein of necha el b'masores. The fact is, Rashi is using this Gemara as a template to see that, you know what, you make real mistakes about the identification of birds. And people thought it was kosher. It ends up being treif. That's what Rashi says.
Yeah, I'm just saying that obviously Rav Papa didn't
Yes, Rav Papa didn't say that, but Rashi is saying that the Gemara backs away from Rav Papa. It's not that Rashi is arguing Rav Papa, it's that Mireimar is arguing on Rav Papa in the Gemara, and Rashi is explaining Mireimar.
Even though the Gemara doesn't say anything of that, right?
The Gemara says the Gemara says that Darash Mireimar, Darash I think means that he gave a public speech, right? It's not just that he spoke about it in yeshiva, he gave a public speech. He got up on the pulpit and he said, you should know that, right, it's really treif because they saw that it's Doris. Mm-hmm. And now she's explaining what that means.
So when they say that the ten was tribes?
What?
They also say, even yeah. Jews, how did they get it's to know the ten was tribes?
I guess so. I don't know, I think it's like pseudo make believe. Like, yeah, I don't think there's anything, there's any substance to it.
Also,
now, yeah.
That animals have been known to change their behavior under duress. For example, bears, if they're, in other words, what their usual, what they like to eat is not available.
So apparently, if you have, right, so the Shach Paskins in Geridea, that if you have an animal that has a Masura, that it's not, that it's a kosher bird. You have a bird from Masura. Even if you see that it's Doris one time, that's just because you assume it was particularly ravenous and it hadn't eaten for a while, and that's just an anomaly. But the Masura overcomes everything. That's the position of the Shach there in Simin Pei Beis of Katan Ches.
So one sighting of a predatory...
So apparently, from this Gemara, you get an impression it wasn't a single sighting. It was that after they investigated more clearly, they noticed that it was really a problem. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, this, whether we accept Rashi, seems to be a subject of dispute. The Ramah in Pei Beis of Katan Gimel, right? Or I should start with the Mechaber. The Mechaber says that any bird that has a wide beak and it has kaf raglo rechava kishel avaz, if it has a foot that looks like a goose foot or a duck foot, it's webbed, a wide foot, so we know that that is not doreis. Anything with webbed feet and has a big beak is not doreis, and you could eat it if it has three simonim. That's what the Mechaber says. In other words, even from the Mechaber, you need to know that an animal is not, that a bird is not Doreis. It's not a predator. How do I know it's not a predator? The Simanim alone is not enough. The Mechaber says, I could rely on the big beak and the webbed feet. The Ramah, however, says, even big beak and webbed feet is not enough to rely on. The Yesha min she'en lis mechafilo azeh. Ve'en lacho shum of ela b'masores shekiblu bo shehu tahar. You cannot eat any bird unless there is a masora. That's what the Ramo says. Now, Aruch HaShulchan says, Chalila lahakel against the Ramah. That would mean that turkey is not kosher. There are many Gedola Yisrael who did not and do not eat turkey, no? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky would not eat turkey. Reb David Lifshitz, who lived in this neighborhood, does not eat turkey. Ever. Ever. We are not talking about Thanksgiving tonight, really. We're talking about turkey. Right? Thanksgiving is beautiful. Turkey, that's a problem. Huh?
Is there must be somebody who says it's hokus
pokus. Yeah, lots of people say that. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. I don't know. But it's probably not. I mean, a few years ago, I think I gave a share here about what Thanksgiving is Chukas Goyim. Rabbi Bleich told me, which I think is really interesting, that the Isser is not Chukas Goyim, this is Chukas Akum, that you can't imitate Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And the Puritans were Unitarian Christians, and they were, what?
They were nasty.
But they were not Ovdei Avodah Zarah in the technical sense. There you have it. And as such, Rabbi Bleich says that he thinks it's absolutely... And the way he says... Rabbi Bleich has a way of like making you feel really stupid when you speak to him. Because he's like the smartest person ever. He's like, anyone who read my encyclopedia that I wrote on this topic... he actually wrote encyclopedias on these topics. Like, he's like really smart. So Rabbi Bleich basically made me feel really dumb. He's like, what are you asking? Chukas Akam. They're not old devil. This is Zara. Don't you know about the... I'm like, okay, fine. Thank you. Whatever. I mean, yeah.
Eric Sorrell does a big thing with Thanksgiving. They celebrate in Big Spell.
In Congregation Shareth Israel. In Spanish Portuguese, yeah.
What? Your friends.
Yeah, right. So they have. Again, they've. I think last year or 2 years ago, he had his. He was invested as the rabbi on Thanksgiving. He gave his whole lecture. Again, I remember his grandfather, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, observed Thanksgiving. I remember one time I was driving with him. He had like a little Daihatsu car that would take him from the Beis Medrash to the dorm. So he turns to me and goes, "Are you going to be eating a turkey to celebrate?" No, it was like Rav Aaron Soloveitchik question. Okay, but so I didn't tell him that actually I don't eat turkey.
You don't?
No.
On principle?
Yeah. And why not? Because of what we're discussing tonight. In other words, I'm not saying turkey is non-kosher. But there is certainly room to question the kashrus of turkey, because as a New World bird, it can't possibly have a masura. There have been many gedolim who did not eat turkey. Now, again, when I say I don't eat turkey, it's a chumra. Everyone else in my family eats turkey. It's my son's favorite food on the planet. I myself don't eat it. I try very, very hard not to eat it. Again, if like someone would give me turkey, I wouldn't know what it is. I don't think I'd induce vomiting or something along those lines. But
Nah,
again, it's just a chumra.
Not even a jelly bowl.
Right.
Can you pick around it and eat around it?
What?
Will you like pick around it and eat around?
So I happen to hate eating that way. It's like whatever.
But it doesn't trace up your
history. My mother, after her heart attack, so she stopped making shalant with like regular meat. She started making shalant with turkey, and then she's like, "Ezra, you haven't eaten shalant in a while. What's going on?" So I had to spill the beans, or spill the shalant meat, whatever it was, and explain why I stopped eating. The shalant. My mother will find out now when she listens to this tape about that I don't eat turkey. There are many people I think who don't eat turkey. Reb Shlomo Kluger in the Tshuva seems to say that you should not eat turkey. No. Here, let's look at Ha'elof L'Chashlomo Simin Kuf Yud Beis Adar She'elaso Benidon Ha'ofos Habon Min America. Right, and they tell you in brackets, America is America, thank you. Hine ani osram, I forbid them. Velo yered b'ni im hamatirim. Don't go down with those who are lenient. Vizeh yoseh mishana heishavti leklau galina ba'arichus. I got a question from town Galina, and I responded at length. Ha'elof HaShlomo is like his shorter truth is v'yisod dvarai kevin da'anan kaimel and dein sumchan al shum simon rak al hamasores ve'ein lanu aleihen masores. We don't have any tradition. Therefore, says Reb Shlomo Kluger, don't eat birds from America. The Matirim write that there's a letter that came from America that they have a masores. Hevel yiftzapihem. It's all garbage. It's nothingness. Why? Because, etc. He goes through the whole thing. How can you have a masores? Hine, four lines from the bottom. Medinas America nisyashiv Yisrael ze erech mea shana. Right? America has only had Jews for approximately 100 years. Umekodem lo hayasham yishuv Yisrael umnayin lahem b'masores. How can you have a tradition? Jews weren't there. Va'odzos yadua ki az ba'u l'sham ra'kom bari nefesh l'cho asher lo nosha v'kalei hada'as rubon v'en kedai l'smach aleihem. And he also says that the original settlers in America basically were bitter souls who had lots of debts, and they were kalei hada'as. They were not heavyweights intellectually. That's a nice way of saying it. And you should not rely on them at all. It comes from America. America is the treif of Medina, and its birds are treif. Orly.
It's just the birds.
Context. When and where did he live?
So Reb Shlomo Kluger was the Rav in Brod. If I'm not mistaken, he died around the year 1860. Right? So the dates kind of work out. Again, I don't know if those few Jews who came from Recife, Brazil in 1656, I really count as being that significant of a community. But the fact is, the tshuvas of Reb Shlomo Kluger say, don't eat birds from America. Now,
what does Rabbi Slifkin say?
Rabbi Slifkin, I did not look. I don't know.
He would be unlikely to actually take a halachic position. He would identify for it.
Right, although he's become bolder in his halachic assertions recently. Now, those who assume that turkey is kosher, which is, I would say, the overwhelming majority of Jews. Rav Moshe Feinstein, by the way, has a tshuva about Thanksgiving. Can you eat turkey? He says, yeah. He doesn't think Thanksgiving is chukas hakam, but eat turkey. Never does he bat an eyelash and say turkey is non-kosher. His son, Rav David Feinstein, says that Rav Moshe says, yeah, of course turkey is kosher. What's the Masorah? The Masorah is that everyone in Russia ate it. Jews in Europe ate turkey. That we know. Jews in Eretz Yisrael eat turkey. Now, are they sinning? So, presumably not. Presumably there has to be something something to rely on. Now, there are ways of looking at this in... You know, this is a topic that came up with the bugs in New York City water a few years ago. Can we assume that the entire Jewish people are doing something wrong? Or if the entire Jewish people do something, does that by definition imply that it has to be correct? Right? The Gemara has an expression of Hashta behemton shot tzadikin in a kadosh baruch hu maybe takala yadam tzadikin atzon lo koshikin. The Gemara has an expression that even animals of tzadikin, the animal for Pinchas ben Yair wouldn't eat, the donkey for Pinchas ben Yair wouldn't eat food that was tevel. Right? And certainly the tzaddik won't eat non-kosher food. So, Tosfos asks this question. Sometimes we see tzaddikim did averis. Right? Reb Shimon ben Shetach famously killed one Eidzomim. The Gemara speaks about Reb Shmuel ben Elisha one time on the Shabbos, he tilted the candle. Right? Kara v'hita. Tosfos asks the kasha, Gittin Davzayin, how could you have done this? Right? Don't we know that tzaddikim don't do stuff wrong? So Tosfos develops a theory that, you know what? Tzaddikim don't eat trade food. But tzaddikim do stuff wrong. Very interesting theory. This might have something to do with... there is a concept in halacha or in hashgafa, whatever you want to say, called timtum halev. There's a concept that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't nurse from a mitzris, because the milk would, the treif milk, quote unquote, would give him bad vibes. Treif food has a way of impacting on us spiritually. That's the concept of timtum halev. It pollutes us. A tzaddik might do an aveira, but a tzaddik won't do an aveira of non-kosher food, because that's a polluting type of avera. That's the type of avera that would hurt the tzaddik more. That's the way Rabbi Chanan Wasserman and others understand that Tosfos and Gittin Dav Zayin. Now, the Taz writes that tzaddikim won't eat non-kosher food, but the rest of Klal Yisrael might. And the rest of Klal Yisrael might eat non-kosher food based on the psak of a tzaddik. Remember, this Gemara says that the Tarnagolta da'agma was assumed to be kosher, and they're eating it, and then they notice that it's Dores, and they stop eating it. Doesn't that mean that they're doing stuff wrong? And the rabbis paskins, the rabbis did something wrong, so Taz says, yeah, the rabbis did something wrong, they paskins wrong. But at the same time, right, that doesn't go against this rule of Behemton Shel Tzadikim. The Tzitz Eliezer, however, has an idea that's found in other Sfarim as well. I should mention that a lot of what we're saying tonight comes from Ari Zivatovsky's article, which is in the RJJ Journal, Volume 35. Ari Zivatovsky is famous because he argued in the Supreme Court last week. Right? His son Menachem Zivatovsky was born in Jerusalem, not Israel. Right? And the Supreme Court decided to give a psak that's absolutely wrong, but that, right, correct, you all know the story. I think I'm now on record about my political opinion about this decision of the court, but the decision of the court is that they're entitled to, right, Jerusalem is not Israel, and you can't sue to say that Jerusalem is Israel, right? Correct? Now, so Ari Zivotofsky, in his article, references are true in the Tzitzaliyah, so that you, maybe limited local groups of Jews will do something wrong based on the Psach. But if you have very widespread practices, you can't say that all of Chrysler is doing something wrong. And that was brought up by David Berger in an article he wrote in the Jewish press right after the bugs were found in the New York City water. He said, come on, everyone has been drinking water all these years. Right? You're going to tell me that, right? It's a serious question. How can you say all the water is non-kosher because there are these copepods in it? Right? That means that Rav Moshe Feinstein and so maybe Rav Moshe, every cup of water he drank, there were no copepods. And the cup of water everyone else drank had copepods. It's not reasonable. It's just not a reasonable assumption. So one argument could be just that Frechnish Kinkashis, it's got to be kosher because everyone's been eating it. But we'd like to try to come up with other arguments that seem to carry more weight. What's interesting to note is that all the tshuvas about turkey say it's permit. Rav Shlomo Kluger says it's non-kosher. Others say it is kosher. But they're all arguing from a post-facto place. Let's look at the tshuva in the Netziv, because he really, right? He really says it nicely. Michta malas kvo toraso higiya. Asher iti merachok lishol dati hakala bedvar avazos gedolim umishunim meavazos hamitzuyim beinenu. They have larger, different types of geese than the ones that we have. Ba'orach tzavaram uvegav shushes shachatom. They have like a gobble, and they have a longer neck. Umeaza harbe shanim shenisgadshu ubalahem nagu bekal kodsho la'achlam b'cheskas avaz. And everyone was eating them. And now people are protesting, maybe they're not geese. And im kain, srichim l'masor b'fnei atzun shehim ovtar, and therefore they need a tradition. So basically people were eating this bird, right? Perhaps he's referring to turkey, we're not 100% sure, but people were eating a certain bird. And then some people said, hey, maybe the bird is non-kosher. So zokt nitziv, v'terem a'aneh, before I respond, hinani l'hagid, ki kasha hu alai l'hashiv b'zeha inyan she'in b'halacha berura, v'kvar shavsinu rabbonon ki gadi misankon. Okay, it's hard to answer questions that doesn't have an absolute halacha, but because you're such an honorable fellow, Hashem should protect me, I shouldn't make a mistake. Why? Key, top of the next page. Im haya ba me rosh hischadshus zeha of lefanai, hayisi migam gem behetero. Had you asked me originally, I would have hesitated to permit the bird. Because you give many arguments. One argument that you give is Dimashihu gadol me'avos shalanu, eino shinoi, etc. He says that the fact that it's as big as our types of geese, that doesn't really affect things. He goes through Gemaras. Any argument that you're going to give me about why this bird is kosher, I feel that there's room to reject. Here, let's give you some of the arguments that he brings up. In the middle, he quotes Chulin Daf Samech Hei. Daf Samech Hei is in parentheses towards the end of the line, around halfway through this big paragraph. The Achirim in Chulin Daf Samech Hei say, Shachin im hatmeim tamei im hatahorim tahar. If an animal lives with kosher birds, it's kosher. If it lives with treif birds, it's treif. So therefore, the turkey lives with kosher birds. It should be kosher. He says, Gabazay Yeshla Hisake, Shirosi could be stubborn, because the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch never quote that. In other words, the Gemara says an animal that lives with kosher is kosher, lives with treif is treif. Zaptin Netziv. Okay, the Gemara says it, Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin that way. Who says that's reliable? Right? Moreover, this that you quote, Shehima Parim Viravim Zemizeh. This is called the hybridization test. Turkeys do not naturally mate with kosher animals, let's say chickens, but you can force them to, and they'll do it. You can force them. Now, this that you say that they made together, that would be a good proof to be kosher. And even though the Rishonim only quoted by animals, but presumably there's no difference between animals and birds, but he says, well, this also you have to question, because there are certain animals that we assume to be kshreif, and we know that they can mate with animals that we presume to be kosher. Nonetheless, if they would actually want to be with each other in the open, maybe that the Nitziv would accept, but he's not convinced that that's a good proof. Basically, the conclusion of the Nitziv is as follows. And everyone who has, the Avni Nazir in his tshuva about turkeys says, you know why turkeys are kosher? Because the eggs of turkey look the same as eggs of kosher birds. Okay.
What do you mean look the same?
So the Gemara speaks about treif eggs have two pointy sides. Kosher eggs have one side that is pointy and one side that is round, most of the time. That's what the Gemara says. The eggs of turkeys look like kosher eggs. They happen to be around double the size of chicken eggs. But they look like kosher eggs. So Avni Nazir says, you know what? Combined with the three simanim that we have, with the Kork of Aniklof and the Etzbe Yisera and the Zefek, that's good enough with the eggs to say that it's kosher. The Nitziv relies on the hybridization test. Others rely on the fact that it's shachin, that it lives with kosher animals. All of these things were brought up by the Nitziv. And the Nitziv says, you know what? If you would ask me originally, I would not permit it based on this. But people have been doing it for a while. And that's enough of a reason to assume that it's kosher with these, I would say, farfetched approaches. That's what the Nitziv says. Now, the best explanation, I think, for the kashas of turkey is as follows. The concern that we have is really that the turkey is dores. It has the three simanim. But Rashi says, you can't rely on the simanim alone because you have the time to go to the avza. Right? That's what Rashi said, that you can't rely on it because of that Gemara on Daf Samach Beis. Time to go to the agma, Rashi says. Okay? But you know what? Maybe the idea is that you can't rely on it right away. But if we've been watching a bird for a very, very long time, and we know that it's not dores, by any definition, maybe that's enough. In other words, one could argue that all Rashi means is that when a new bird comes in front of us, we don't permit it because maybe it's still race. So what does that mean? Give it time. This is probably the best explanation as to why turkeys are kosher. Rashi says you need a masora. You're right, but Rashi might mean I need a masora to eat it right away. The problem is the Ramah doesn't sound like this, no? The Ramah sounds like, as a matter of halacha, that you cannot eat any bird unless it's a masora. Within Rashi, I could say that Rashi is speaking about uf haba lefaneinu, about a new bird that comes in front of us. But the Ramah is quoting Rashi. So I think the best explanation is just give it time. And time has shown that it's not dores, that's why it's kosher. But the fact is, the kashrus of turkey is really not abundantly simple. Now, this might show the power of the populace. It might show that the Jewish people have accepted a position. Perhaps they've accepted a position against Rashi. Or perhaps, like what we're saying, that even according to Rashi, it's okay. It's against the Ramah. So one could argue, historically, the Ramah was born in around 1540 or 1535. And maybe, right, the Ramah was writing before the turkey became... the Ramah was writing after the turkey is already acceptable. In other words, by the time Ramah's writing, he says, oh, turkey's a kosher bird. Why? We're already eating turkey. It's got to be kosher. And the Ramah's psak is only talking about new birds that come after turkey. I don't know. That seems a little difficult. I don't know the real answer. It seems like being mekel on eating turkey is against the Ramah. It might be within Rashi, but it's against Rambam. Now, we have explanations why it's okay. It lives together, they can perhaps mate, etc., but they don't do it regularly. Maybe that's enough, but like the Netziv says, these are only enough as a explanation post facto. So, this is what we have about turkey. Go eat your turkey. We assume it's kosher, but it certainly is something worth thinking about. Orly?
Question about attention to new bird. Is there any problem with the way turkeys are bred now, that they're genetically modified to what they used to be? Like in America,
everything today is genetically modified. They are producing chickens that have like all polkas, no? Because that's what people like. Generally speaking, we assume that these Monsanto, whatever. Gets involved in like big food. Genetic modification might be against Ritzon Habore. I could argue that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants animals to be the way they used to be, and we're tampering with Maaseh Bereishis on a certain level, but at the same time, it's not enough to make a treif. Now, you could also argue that the way they raise birds in this country is really, I would say, inhumane, but we're talking about inanimal, right? It's really mean. They stick them in these cages and they force feed them, and it's disgusting. And there's a degree of tzar bala chayim involved. That might be true. Free range stuff is much better for the animals. Again, the tzar bala chayim might mean that I shouldn't raise my animals that way, but it wouldn't be enough to make my animal treif. Veal. I happen to think that veal is a real problem. I spoke about that here beforehand. But it's not a problem because of the tzar bala chayim. Yes, they raise veal in terrible, terrible, terrible conditions. No? The calves are stuck together, but that doesn't mean it becomes treif because of that. Yeah, Badia?
Just a clarification for the tape, that gene modification is not necessarily the way they're getting these big turkeys these days, because animal husbandry for thousands of years
So we select turkeys that have certain quality, and they give them food, but at the same time, they still do try to modify. You can get degrees in universities to learn how to produce a turkey with a particular type of meat and very plump, etc. That's what they want, right? And they're producing them to meet exactly the qualities that people want. That's what they're doing. Okay, so this is what we wanted to say about turkey. Yeah, turkey's kosher, right? But I think a chumrah not to eat turkey is not so crazy, because based on the sources, ultimately, right, it is what to rely on. Yet we know that most Gedolei Yisrael ate turkey without any batting of an eyelash. So think about it, I don't know. And next week we're not meeting because it's Erev Thanksgiving, but you should have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and thank you for listening.